Let's talk fear. There's a lot of things to be scared about financially. I mean, things like job loss, you know, rising cost of living, retirement planning, worrying about not having enough money, worrying about healthcare costs, maybe worrying about your planning for your children. I mean, the amazing thing about finance is that there's usually something we can do about these things. It's almost never terminal. We just need to take the right action as soon as we can and then let time do the rest. Before I get on with this episode, a reminder that I have a Patreon page where you can read articles, download spreadsheets, get internet resources, you can watch tutorial videos, and even chat with me if you have ideas of a podcast or you just have a general question. So it's free to join, so sign up today. The link is patreon.com/jellyman_investing. A disclaimer that I'm not a financial advisor. Please consult with a professional before making any financial decisions on the episode. All right, so let's face it. The world is pretty scary out there. I mean, I'm in my mid-30s now, and the world has changed so much. You know, I think about my generation, the generations that are coming after me, especially Gen Z. A lot of these generations, like each generation has their own challenge. And there's sort of like a lack of appreciation of the challenges per generation. Like, I know a lot of people are saying that Gen Z are lazy, but the challenges that they have to deal with were created by the generations that came before them. And same goes for previous generations. And the economy is not the same as it once was. The world is not the same. The job market isn't the same. Technology isn't the same. The way we communicate, globalization, things are different. So I can understand how for each generation, the fears are also different in some respect. If you have a family, it's even, I guess it makes it even worse. So something as simple as, you know, maybe not simple, but losing a job, I mean, that is absolute disaster. So I want you to really think about, if you only have your job as your single stream of income, so in terms of your bank account, the only money ever coming in consistently is your job, then I don't want to say you're completely in trouble, but you need to do something about that. Because if your entire lifestyle is linked to that, and say you're the only earner for your family, but even if you're not, it's still something you want to think about. Because what would you do if you lost your job? What action will you take? What strategy do you have? So these are the kind of fears I want to talk about in this episode. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a few ideas around those issues of like how you would go about solving them or how I'd go about solving them. So I've got 7 of the biggest fears that I know people have, because I've heard about this from, you know, talking to a lot of people, and I'm going to talk about the solution. So number one is running out of money. I think this is in particular for retirement. So you retire and then you go, well, will this money last me? That is a pretty scary thought. But if you're listening to this now because you're retired, it's probably not the podcast you want to be listening to necessarily. If you're 30, 40 years old, that's something you can solve. You know, maybe even 50 years old, because no doubt you'll probably be on a higher salary anyway if you're a little bit older. But just going, well, let me run some of those basic figures in those previous episodes of how much do I actually need? Let's add 20% of that and go, well, to get to that point, maybe I sell one of my investment properties, or maybe I have to buy some stocks, or maybe I have to do whatever it might be in terms of covering that shortfall. 10 years, 20 years, 30 years of investment time is a long time. Now, to give you kind of a basic idea of what you can do in, say, we'll do it in like increments. So say I have a typical index fund of return of 11%, let's just say, and then it has, I'm not even going to talk about dividends, but say for 10 years, how much could you make off 10 years if your starting amount was zero and you want to invest an extra $100 a month? In 10 years, that'll be worth $22,000. But if we up this a little bit, let's say 200, $22,000 becomes $44,000. And as we go higher and higher, you know, now we're at 88,000, right? And that's just in 10 years. But what's really interesting about some of these mathematics in terms of like compound growth is, watch this. If I go, let's say 200 a month, which is reasonable, right? And I've got a set here to actually 12%, which is kind of all right. Instead of 10 years, let's go 15 years. So how much more will 44,000 grow? 44 is now almost 100,000. If we go to 20 years, it's now 182,000. That's only at 200 a month. And I'm going to bump this up all the way to 30. And now you're at 610,000. So it's that long-term compounding effect that if you have enough time, there's a lot you can do. And this isn't even taking into account that as time goes on, your job gets better. So maybe it's not 200. Maybe by the end, you can actually invest 500. Okay. 500 invested in 30 years at 12%, mind you, is $1.5 million. So this stuff can grow rather quickly, especially at the end, right? So when you think of Warren Buffett, he became a billionaire, I think at age 55. That was the first time he made a billion, or he got to a billion. And he's now worth $120 billion, and he's like 90 years old. So majority of his worth, like 99% of it, came after like old age. But obviously Warren Buffett's like an anomaly. But there are definitely things you can do if you're 20 years, 30 years out from retirement and you're worried about running out of money. Okay. Number two, debt. Debt is a massive one. Debt is sort of like this dark shadow that hangs over you. I know a lot of the debt starts from, well, in Australia anyway, credit cards, personal loans, and obviously mortgages. So those would be probably the biggest things. I don't see a lot of people complain about car loans because, well, like mathematically speaking, the amount of interest you pay on a car loan isn't that great. Like it's kind of, it's a fraction compared to a mortgage. And also it's the way the mortgage works. The mortgage is calculated daily, the interest, and then accrued monthly. And that has a different effect mathematically. Plus, obviously, the volume of the mortgage. So two things. Number one is just don't get into credit card debt in the first place. But that's kind of naive of me to say. Because a lot of the times, we don't know. We're young, you know, we get a credit card. So one of the things I always recommend when it comes to especially credit cards or, you know, possibly personal loans is if you are struggling to pay it off, number one, go see an expert, right? Pay for the fee of like, can you please have a look at my finances and tell me what I'm doing wrong? Am I, you know, like, why am I in this situation? Because it's the same. I think with finances, people treat it kind of differently. Instead of solving it through education and skill, it's sort of like, I'll just do whatever comes naturally. But, you know, when you are practicing to get your driver's license, you know, it's, you're not doing it out of natural talent. You know, we can approach finances the same way. It's a skill that we have to attain. Attain? I don't know if that's the right word. It's the second time I've used that tonight. It's a skill we have to obtain. But say you already have existing credit cards. One thing I would do is I would consolidate those loans into a single credit card that has a 0% interest for a fixed period of time. Obviously, the longer, the better. And then pay that thing off as aggressively as possible to get that down, that debt really low. Because more likely, you are being consumed by the interest. Now, the other thing you can do is talk about it. You know, I struggled really early with credit card debt, and it took speaking to my brother, going, listen, I'm really struggling right now. This happened to me. And he's only a year older than me. And he's like, and I'm like, this happened to me. What should I do? And he's like, read this book or go to this person or go to the bank and do this. And he just had the knowledge because he had, I guess, been through it himself. And, you know, sometimes we have to talk about debt. We have to talk about mistakes and credit card. And you'll be surprised how many times people have been through what you've been through. And they'll be like, just do this and you'll be right. You know, and sometimes, and again, it's just a lack of knowledge of how to manage these things. And that's what it is. Managing your credit cards, managing your personal loans, managing your mortgage, those are all skill sets. With the mortgage in particular, once you're kind of in it, it becomes a little bit trickier. But I'd say before getting into a mortgage, learning how to assess it for worst case scenarios. So if people are saying, well, you can get a property for 3% interest rate, does that mean it's going to stay 3% for 30 years? No, of course not. So We go, well, let me assess myself for 7% interest. Worst case scenario, it may not ever happen, but if it does, I'm covered. That's how you strategically manage your mortgage. So you're not ending up in mortgage stress, because that stuff creeps into the rest of your life. Soon enough, you're cranky, you get annoyed at other people, you get annoyed at your partner, your kids start to notice you're fighting more, and then it's downhill. It becomes very, very tough. Third one is job loss or income instability. Now, I've experienced job loss myself. It is horrible. One thing I would say for job loss, and I think it's kind of unavoidable, if you have a job right now and things are going pretty good, now is the time to start figuring out, well, how can I have a separate stream of income? Now, that could be either a side gig or a side business, entrepreneurship, or maybe you want to invest, then you can have dividend investing or what have you. Those kinds of things will help out a lot. And I'm not talking about a passive income that replaces your job. I mean, if you can do that, that's absolutely fantastic. It definitely does not happen for everyone. But if it does, that's absolutely fantastic. And just having that little bit of extra coming in from somewhere else, it does wonders for you mentally as well, because you know that, like, okay, so if I lose my job, I've got some on the side that I'm still going to be kind of okay. And then with income instability, say, you know, you're living paycheck to paycheck, or the job just isn't providing consistent pay, you know, we don't have to settle for things that happen. Now, obviously, some people go through some really, really tough stuff and we have no choice. I get that as well. But, you know, the world is different now. I have this argument all the time with my partner, and she says, like, I didn't know. No, she didn't say this. She was saying, like, how some people don't know where their parents didn't teach them or whatever. I'm like, I don't know how long those kinds of excuses work anymore, where you can just be like, I didn't know. I don't know how to do that. It's like, we live in a world of internet, podcasts, obviously, YouTube. Like, knowledge is everywhere. Obviously, now with AI and ChatGPT and all those kinds of tools, like, you could literally learn anything. So start thinking about, well, is this the job I want to do? Like, what skill do I need to do to get out of this job, maybe? Or maybe move to a different job? What you actually find, especially with jobs, is if you stay in a job and you try and get a pay rise, you can maybe get like 5%, 10%, 10% at most, something like that. But if you change jobs, you could end up getting like an extra 30% more. It's not something crazy like that, because the budgets are so much bigger when you change jobs. Yeah, which I wish I knew. If you just change jobs like every 2 years, that's some crazy pay increases. All right, next one. Inflation and rising cost of living. Now, there's only really one main way that I can think of to battle this, and that is ensuring that you're investing well ahead of time. We are now going through, especially in Australia and Victoria, there's a rising cost of living. I know it's happening a lot in the US. Inflation has just gone absolutely nuts. These are still effects that we're seeing from COVID. The only way I think to solve this is, number one, it won't be from your job, because if your job is increasing, that's if you even get pay increases and bonuses of, let's say, 2 or 3%, but then inflation is like 4%, well, then you didn't really get a promotion. It's your earnings are just keeping up with inflation barely. So we need to figure out an investment vehicle that is greater than inflation. And for me, that's the simplest one, is buying a simple index fund. So when you're parking your money in there, it's growing by, let's say, 10% a year. Inflation is, let's say, 3 or 4%. So you're outpacing inflation. That's one way I see of actually beating inflation and the rising cost of living. With rising cost of living, I guess you could also start working on those extra streams of income. I remember in my younger days and listening to, I think it might have been a podcast or a book, that most millionaires, or practically every millionaire, has multiple streams of income. And when you look at it logically, it makes sense, because if you have income from just one source, it makes it very difficult to build wealth, because you're always either scared to lose it, or something happens and you can't get paid from that source. You know, you have to take unpaid leave or something like that. And or someone gets sick in your family and you can't work, well, then what? So having multiple streams of income, and if they're passive, even better. That would be fantastic. Number five, investment losses. So I usually see this with people who are super excited about the stock market, and they buy something because everyone's excited about it, and then it loses heaps of its value. They lose heaps of money, and then they never invest again. That's one source. The other is they get really lucky with an investment and they make heaps of money. This is good momentarily, but when it comes to investing, it's not about being right that one time and you hit it big. It's about being able to make consistent earnings over a really long sustained period of time. Now, statistically speaking, I wouldn't even say statistically, I guess you can say statistically speaking, Warren Buffett is considered the greatest investor of all time. But there are actually a lot of other people in history who've been much better investors than him in terms of return. But the difference is with Warren is that he has been investing for so much longer that that time difference has compounded so much that he's just outpaced everybody. That's just, I mean, how good he's been. So with investment losses, I would say the way around investment losses is actually understand what you're investing in the first place and give it some time. Like people, as you know, Peter Lynch likes saying, people are in an unbelievable rush to buy stocks or to buy real estate. It's like, take your time. I know a story. I had a story of someone approached me and he was completely flustered and shocked because he had just put a down payment on a house. And then he came to see me and he was freaking out. And he was like, I didn't know about stamp duty. How could you not know about stamp duty? And that just shows that you did not do any reading or research before suddenly handing over nearly $100,000 to somebody, not understanding that you had to pay stamp duty. Like, that is one of the most basic things about buying real estate. You should know that stuff. Can you imagine if, like, he didn't have first home buyer's grant or anything like that, or any builder's grant or anything like that? It would have been huge amounts of money. And if he didn't tick the right boxes, he could have lost the deposit entirely. So things like that, it's like, before you jump into these things, just do a bit of research, ask around, talk to a lot of people. The internet is there. You cannot blame anyone after a certain point when all the knowledge is so easily accessible for free. Okay. Number six, healthcare costs. Yes, healthcare is very expensive. And depending on which country you're in, this is different for all of them. My advice, and I guess this is coming from Barefoot Investor as well, from memory, if you can afford to get the absolute best healthcare, do it. Because buying insurance on a TV is sort of silly. We should be designating the money on things that can absolutely ruin us. That means making sure you have really, really good home and contents insurance, making sure you have good insurance on your car. Don't get third-party insurance on your car. Like, it's just going to be a headache later because you wanted to save a few extra dollars in terms of your premiums. Like, especially with healthcare, you only get one body. As much as you can, get the absolute best that you can. And I guess healthcare would be kind of lumped into rising cost of living in that you want to have enough capital to cover the increased healthcare costs, which I think can only be covered by, obviously, investing. And then now number seven, not being able to afford retirement. I can understand why this one would be one of the most terrifying fears. But again, if you're 30 years old, you can do something about this. If you're 40, you can do something about it. 50, even if you're 60, you can probably do something about it. Like, if you're 60, you may have enough cash saved up. You could have equity in your home. You could buy multiple properties. You can work off the equity. Whatever it could be, you can meet with a lot of experts. Goes, what can I do? Right? There's a lot of things you can still take action on. So let me close it with this. Some of these may feel like dead ends in terms of that there's nothing I can do about it. I'm screwed. That's not true when it comes to finance. It's just a matter of finding the right expert to listen to your situation and say, why don't you try these things? and then giving them a try. And you know what? You may find more often than not, a lot of the simple things actually get you out of trouble. And once you're out of trouble, then you can start capitalizing on opportunities moving on into the future. And then things really start to shift. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and I'll see you at the next one.